Shadows Literary License podcast episodes. Ben Stokes here, exploring all things Collinsport, Maine, and following the likes of the Collins family and the friends and foes, with your co-hosts Tom Diamond, Jesse Fuchs, Mickey Ray, and Keith Chalgo. Collins family, story about blood relations, literally. Hello, everybody. This is Tom Diamond from the Literary License Podcast, and we hope you're all doing well. And we have a special guest today, and Vicky Ray is with us. Say hi, Vicky.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Stacy. Hi, Tom.
Hello.
And there's Stacy. And who is Stacy? Stacy Polos is the niece of Alex Stevens. Now, for those new fans, because the old fans don't really need an introduction to it. And Stacy right now is holding up a figurine of... So if you know who that is, that for the older fans, Alex Stevens was the stuntman who played the werewolf on Dark Shadows, the werewolf being Quentin Collins' alter ego, also Chris Jennings' alter ego, during that segment. And so for the new fans, stay abreast, because we're going to be covering that very soon. So Stacy, hi there.
Hello.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is exciting.
Well, we're happy to have you on, and so I'm gonna cut to the chase, and start talking to you. Now you're the uncle of Alex Stevens, and your father is his brother.
My dad is John Poulos. Alex's real birth name is Alex Stevens. Alex Poulos. Mm-hmm. And he used the stage name Alex Stevens because Alex Poulos was apparently used in the movie business already. To be in the union, you have to have a different name. It's a lot different now. But he was a twin of my dad, which is John Poulos. Identical. They sounded alike and they looked alike. So my uncle, he would call me and pretend that he was my dad. We didn't have caller ID back in the day. And I could tell the difference, even though he would talk without his New York accent, because you could kind of tell. But I could definitely tell them apart after just a few minutes of listening to him. But, my dad is John Poulos.
So the only real way you could tell them apart was the New York accent versus the California accent?
Yes. And you could kind of tell that Alex was more, if there was a tough guy in the family, you know, he had kind of that tough persona, stunt man, you know, he's got to fall down the stairs. And my dad was a little bit more of a shy guy. So he was confident, but not as, he was a little hesitant in saying something, where Alex was very much a tough guy kind of guy. You could tell that in their pictures apart. You could see the shy-looking one in the picture opposed to the one that was very confident. Mm-hmm. Definitely the difference between the two.
Now, your father also was an entertainer, was he not?
Yes. He sang a lot of Frank Sinatra music, and he had live shows with a big band, Bob Enos Big Band, to be exact. So he had a big orchestra behind him. And he also bartended. Apparently, Alex bartended, too, at one point when he was in Los Angeles.
That's interesting. How did your father get his start in the business?
I think it's just entertainment is their
métier?
Yeah.
Who got into it first? Was it the uncle, or was it...
That's a good question.
Was it Alex, or was it your father?
I think they kind of got in at the same time. My grandmother, well, I really didn't want to talk about this with my grandmother, but my grandmother was also an entertainer. And she owned a very famous Greek restaurant in New York City called the Port Said. And they had belly dancing. That's a whole nother documentary I'm working on.
Right, but that sounds fascinating already.
Oh, it really is. And
belly dancing, wow.
So one of my dad's stories about the belly dancers, because they lived above the restaurant that my grandmother owned, or my yaya owned, were Greek. And they said that they would look down the pipes on the roof down into the restaurant and watch the belly dancers. So they were teenagers. They grew up in it. My yaya was a belly dancer, and she had very many famous people go through her restaurant.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's famous. I mean, I come from Brooklyn originally, so I mean, I remember all those places. So how did your uncle get involved in the business? Do you remember?
He got a job doing stunts at a cowboy place in New York. I can't remember the name of it, but he did live performances and went through those realms. And his beginning ones was dancing on stages and, you know, doing musicals. So he's in a couple musicals as well.
He was pretty accomplished, wasn't he? Yeah. He seems to know how to do just a little bit about everything.
Yeah. So I think from there, you know, being in the movie business, being around entertainers, it kind of moved into that direction.
Interesting. Okay. Now your uncle was Frank Sinatra's double. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. So him and Frank Sinatra were friends, and he was... basically, at the time that I interviewed him when I was a teen, I think he was in 13 of his movies. Now, I can only find a couple of them, because back in the day, they didn't credit stuntmen.
No, they did not, sadly.
Yeah, so that's why it's always been hard. My uncle has been, when I started making the documentary about him, it's called Practically Famous, because that was his favorite word. Or favorite thing that he used to always say, because he doubled for all these famous people and nobody knew who he was. Frank Sinatra walks in the room, everybody knows him. Alex walked in, no one knew that he was the werewolf on Dark Shadows because they didn't see his face. So this is a picture of Frank Sinatra and my uncle Alex in the movie Detective.
I remember seeing that when I was a kid, and everybody, what she's showing us is Frank Sinatra in a three-piece traditional suit with a looks like a fedora hat, and Alex is right next to him. He's talking to him. And could you
notice now that they're dressed exactly the same?
Yes, I want to see the autograph underneath. Could you move that?
So he wrote this to Frank Sinatra. It was a birthday for his, I believe, his 80th birthday or something.
How it cool. says, "For Frank, with warm regards and happy birthday from his friend Alex Stevens, 12-95. That was in 1995? Very good, December 95. Yeah. That's really good.
They used to dress so classy back then. So sharp. God, I love pictures like that.
What was the other movie? There was the detective, and then he's in it. And the interesting thing is that you actually see his face in the other movie. I can't think of it, of course, because I'm under pressure.
Yeah, don't be under pressure. We can edit anything.
No, don't worry about it.
Okay, here he is in Lady in Cement.
Okay, I remember that too.
Yeah, there he, let me see if I get, that's Alex holding a gun on Frank Sinatra.
There is.
Oh, so he's an extra in that movie.
Well, this is a part. And then after this scene right here, they go outside and get in a gunfight.
Ah, that's great. Go ahead.
Shadows.
And that Shadowgram. She's showing us a Shadowgram episode, a Shadowgram newsletter, and that's Kathy Resch, our good friend, and Marcy Robin, the grand doms of Dark Shadows fandom.
Grand doms for sure. Because he did stunts in several movies I just love. He did Alan Quartermain in The Lost City of Gold. He did Goodfellas. Love that movie. No. True Blood. I did not know. He did True Blood, too.
I'm going to cover up the amount, but here's a residual check from MPI.
Okay. Okay.
Movies. Sure. I have his tax return. Okay, so here's the thing. When he passed away, my cousin passed away, and my uncle, he was kind of losing his mind in the end, and they didn't want to tell him that his son had passed away. And the day that they did, he died the next day.
Oh,
so, my uncle had left me some stuff to my cousin. And including this jacket, which I will show you, this East Coast Stuntman's jacket.
Oh, please do.
And I went there.
Oh, that's cool.
Nice. Yeah. Nice.
Oh, that's very nice. That's a black leather jacket, everybody. And it really looks.
That's rubbed elbows with Frank Sinatra and Chuck Norris.
Oh, don't wash that thing.
I know.
Looks like a Fonzie jacket with the East Coast Association insignia on it.
Yes.
So that's very cool.
So I had to get back to New York to get this because I was afraid, you know, my cousin's girlfriend might lose it or move or whatever. And my uncle gave it to me when he was alive and well. My cousin was just always embarrassed to send it to me because it had cat hair on it. And I said, I don't care. Oh, goodness. I don't care. Get it in the mail. So when I went back there to pick it up, I had boxes and boxes of stuff that was my uncle's, and I put things in suitcases and carried them on a scooter on the way home. This is another one that was my uncle's.
That's his makeup kit or something?
Yeah. I don't know the combination to get in. So
it's a gray metal kit. Oh, there might be stuff in
it.
Oh, there might be stuff in there. There might be treasure. You
know? There is stuff in there, but I don't want to leave it with somebody to unlock it, and I don't want to pry into it.
I wouldn't want to break it either.
I think you'd have to. You'd have to get a locksmith.
Standing there when you unlock that.
You'd have to get a locksmith, I think. You know.
Yeah, yeah.
And that looks like something right out of Dark Shadows, by the way. Remember those suitcases that Vicky? Vicky Withers had.
Yeah, it's a three-number combination. So if you think you know what my uncle would have had.
It has to be something simple that he would, that it has to be something simple.
It's not his birthday. It's not his son's birthday. I mean, we tried everything.
Maybe it's Roger Collins's birthday now. So what's that that you're showing us? What's
David Selby's birthday.
This is my own monster suitcase. I got this when I went to the Dark Shadows convention, the last one they had. They gave me this and, anyway, I have my own monster makeup kit.
You know, they used to have somebody, I don't think it was you, but there used to be somebody that would to the convention. She'd dress up as she'd do the whole werewolf thing.
Uh-huh.
And she'd walk around. It's the first time I've remembered this in years. But I don't remember who this fan was, but she dressed up like Alex Stevens in the werewolf makeup. And she'd go around and talk to people with the teeth. And she had it made up so she could actually talk to people through the teeth. And she'd give autographs and everything. So she was...
have pictures?
She was kind of cool. No. I just remember it.
Tom.
Oh, I thought you were talking to me, Vicky.
I am talking to you.
Oh, you are? Oh, okay. No, I don't have. No, I don't have. But I remember it. But go ahead. Stacy. So what do you got there?
So in my monster kit, this is for my documentary, Practically Famous. Now, these are arms, little monster arms. And I have a picture of me and David Selby. He has one arm on and over my shoulder. And I have my arm over his shoulder. So we both have monster arms.
Oh, that's funny.
And we're wearing the same shirt. I don't know what it was about Dark Shadows, but what made him separate from all other werewolves is the plaid shirts. So if you ever see it. So this was worn by David Selby in my photo, and I interviewed him. So
Did you ever get dressed up in the werewolf makeup, Stacey?
Yes, and I have. That's the werewolf arms.
You did the whole thing? You got dressed up?
I did the face mask and everything. I actually have made my own nose because I'm trying to make it exactly like his. I've been talking to a dentist to actually have me have teeth made. He had teeth made for his. So I've bought some that you could just put in, and they don't work out so well. You know, there's a difference between werewolf and vampire teeth. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Vampires come from the top. Werewolves are at the bottom like a dog.
The bottom. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So that's one of the things I've learned.
The better to bite you with, my dear. Absolutely. But now that's cool. You're taking after your, it's your uncle's legacy.
Yes.
You're truly the werewolf's niece.
Yep.
And we actually referred, it's funny because when we, you know, when we, Vicky and I and Keith would, you know, when we first, you know, when you first agreed to do this, we were saying, oh, the werewolf's niece is going to be on. The werewolf's niece.
Right. Well, I have a fan group just for the werewolf so that people can contribute, you know, what they know about behind the scenes. Because I'm more interested in the not so famous people of the, like behind the scenes. I'm a behind the scenes kind of girl. I love it myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Friends of Dark Shadows Werewolf. And
that's on Facebook?
Yep, on Facebook.
Friends of Dark Shadows Werewolf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's great. That's great.
And
Stacey, how did, do you know how your uncle got the part on Dark Shadows by any chance?
That I don't know.
Okay. But then later on, so you were a kid when he was on Dark Shadows.
I was probably 64. I was around, if it was 66.
Well, that was when it went on. He came on around 68 or 69.
Yeah, about that.
Right. So you were around. I was born in 64.
Tell us the story you told me about the school, you know, when you were going to elementary school and And what did they call you? They call you the werewolf's niece or something? What was that?
Well, I have a widow's peak as it is.
Just like your uncle.
Just like
your uncle.
We're monsters run in the family. So
there you go. There you go.
What was it? Well, I was always fascinated. I wanted to be a photographer and a filmmaker. My dad owned a magazine called Entertainment East Magazine, and it was just a dining and nightlife guide for local restaurants and stuff like that. So I helped him work on that. Mm-hmm. And I just always wanted to be in the movie industry. And when I was a kid, I don't know, I was fascinated with creature features and thought, I always want to make my own scary movie.
Wow. Well, we all were. I mean, we grew up in different places, but I mean, me in New York, and we had Creature Features. That was the name of the show, actually,
mm-hmm.
Every Saturday night on Channel 5.
Chiller Theater.
That was in New York, too?
Creature Features and Chiller Theater was on Channel 11 in New York.
WPIX. I never forgot.
Correct. That's right.
Monster Movie Matinee.
That's right. Well, we didn't have Monster Movie Matinee, but we had Creature Features and Saturday night at 8:30 on Channel 5, WNEW, and then there was Chiller Theater. So, but you grew up in California. What did you have? You had Elvira, didn't you?
I think eventually, but no, we had Creature
Vampira. Did you? Oh, that was before your time. That was before your time.
Let me see. Does this look familiar?
And she's showing us that looks like a prehistoric skull of some sort. No, I don't.
I don't recollect that.
A blind date, perhaps, from years ago. I don't know.
No, I made it myself when I was in elementary school.
Oh my God!
A replica of the creature feature skull that he had sitting on his little table with the candle.
Oh, you had a great background. I could just see the teachers running away from you.
Yeah.
Well, good that you scared them. But didn't the kids all always ask you about your friends in elementary school? Always ask, did they ask you about your uncle or something like that?
Nope, not much. I did the book report. I don't remember it being a big deal. You know, I know I have neighbor kids, and because I collect media, mm-hmm. I have like an old typewriter, and they got fascinated by pushing the button and it's swinging up and typing yep. a letter.
Oh yeah.
And wow. And then I showed him a picture of my uncle. I have him on a DVD case. And I told him, I said, I'm a werewolf, or my uncle's a werewolf. And they were like scared. And it's like, they almost didn't believe me. And then I showed a picture of him as a werewolf. So they didn't mess with me.
He did. How did he get on Sesame Street? I guess he was in the number song.
Well, here's the thing. So you have New York and you have Hollywood, right? Why didn't they make as many films in New York as they did in Hollywood? Hollywood had better weather. So you could shoot a lot more days outside in the nice weather. In New York, it was a lot of indoor, or you had a limited time outdoors. So that's why everybody went to Hollywood to be famous, where the people that stayed back in New York, it was a small niche group of people. Mm-hmm. So just like anything, you're at a party, it's like, hey, Susie Joe's does this, or hey, let's get Alex to do the stunts for this, or something like that. So the cake part was part of the pilot program. What I've seen in his resume is that he's been a part of a lot of pilot programs, like even Kojak. He's in the very first Kojak. You see him pull up. I heard his voice before I saw his face. I heard his voice on the speaker, you know, calling all cars.
Oh, yeah. My goodness. That was him?
Yes. So
what program was this?
It was Kojak.
Oh, my God. And that's how...
That's definitely... My parents used to put that on. I always remembered Kojak.
Oh, my God.
So when I started my working on my documentary, Practically Famous, I had his resume, and then I knew that there was more, because what I had was from when I was like 12, and then on IMDb, he barely has anything on there,
right.
And there's a couple of them that I didn't know of, and then when I started researching, I found over 300 movies and TV shows and commercials he's been in.
Oh, he was very prolific. What did he do in commercials? He just had parts on commercials, or did he do stunts on commercials?
Yeah, like he had a 5-year contract with Volvo.
Hmm. Okay.
And he did the VW.
Wow.
He's done cereal commercials. And he did one beer commercial that was a spoof, and I have a copy of that, where it's a cowboy kind of thing where they're socking each other, and he gets thrown across a bar, and then something falls on him.
I have to ask, did he ever share like any particular memories on the Dark Shadows set with you, or anything stood out?
I don't necessarily remember that, except that... I remember when I first met him, because I like creature features and I like scary movies, I almost thought he really was a werewolf, because when I first met him as an adult, well, a teenager, because he lived on the East Coast or on the West Coast, he wore a Greek evil eye. And at that time, I didn't know what it was. But I would look at him like, okay, and I know the coming. And here he had this eyeball on his neck. And he wore it with a coin. I wish I remember the coin, but he had this eyeball, and I'm like, is that some kind of evil thing? And, you know, does that help with his werewolf scenario? But turns out a Greek evil eye is like a mirror that if you try to wish bad things on someone else or on you, that it reflects back on them. So,
wow.
Yeah. So it's just a Greek thing.
Italians do that too. We've got half the family's Italian, so they're always talking about
Malocchio. Malocchio. The biggest thing about Alex Stevens that the fans have was when he did an appearance on What's My Line.
Yeah.
And that is...
I remember that back when it was on TV.
Yeah, well, this was in the late 60s when he was at his height, and Wally Bruner was the host at that time, and Arlene Francis and the rest. And that was your uncle's real 15 minutes of fame. Right. Because he came on in the werewolf, he came on in the full werewolf makeup, and of course they were all blindfolded, so they didn't, they didn't right. see. And then when, and this is on YouTube, Facebook for people to see. And for those who haven't seen it yet, it's really interesting because when they, nobody guessed who he was. And so then when they took their masks off, he then actually took the werewolf makeup.
Yeah.
And then you see Alex the way he really looked. Right. And no, and of course, in Dark Shadows, you never saw the way Alex really looked. And he started to talk about his. Did you saw that one, Stacey? The What's
I did,
My Line
yes,
thing?
I have a copy of it. I've actually talked to the man who shot the B roll.
Oh wow! Yeah. Oh wow! And that's something that we never saw the B roll. What was
so on the B roll? She was Vicky was talking about how they showed how he wears clothes. You know, like
he put on the special protective underwear. Kind of threw me because I did not know that.
Right. I never saw that one.
They basically wear a football uniform underneath their clothes.
Yeah, I did not know that.
Oh my god!
It's part of the What's My Line, isn't it?
I don't think so.
It leads to that video because he's standing outside of a car and they're trying to dress him up as a female. He's portraying a female being thrown from the car and he looks like a female. And they showed him putting on his pantyhose or whatever, his stockings, because they said he was covering his sexy legs. I believe that was his comment. Yeah.
Okay. I thought you were talking about something he did on Dark Shadows.
It was just, we were talking prior to starting taping about all this, what they went through and some of the stuff I didn't know. I knew they, like, wouldn't they dress up for fires and things like that? There's a whole lot of protective gear. But I didn't realize they wore football garb underneath to protect just about everything that's important.
Must be heavy. Oh my god,
it was just really interesting because he showed how you put this on and it's layers, but it was an interesting little segment.
I remember the thing he was jumping off a building, I think was
I saw that one too, 45 foot
wow
dive into the boxes.
Yeah, wow. That was on the same show where they showed a little b-roll of making a documentary about him, so that's how that.
Do they still use boxes, or is it now the blow-up thing? Or
the blow-up.
It's a blow-up now. I know you said you've done a few stunts yourself.
Yes. Yep.
Tell us about that. What kind of stunts have you done?
Well, I was part of the Silverado Western Gunfighters Association. So at one point, I dressed up like a tomboy cowboy kind of thing and got in shootouts and fist fights and and then the best was when I was dressed up as a girly girl in a big, long bridesmaid dress, actually. And then got, somebody tried to use me as a hostage. And then I socked them and got their gun and shot them. So I've done a couple things. When I was a kid, my uncle showed me a couple things, on stunts.
What did he teach you?
How to get socked in the stomach. And, how to sock somebody in the face.
That's interesting. That's interesting.
I love showing it to little kids.
Life skills. I could have
shown it to me.
Growing up with my brothers.
let me slap you. Okay, so who wants to get slapped?
Slap Tom.
Okay, slap me.
He needs it more than I do.
Virtually.
Right. And when I put my hand across there, slap your hands together.
Go ahead, do it.
And then flip your face. Yes, but put it behind so we don't see your hands.
Ah, I see what you're saying.
I don't see your hands.
Yeah.
So then when you see me bring my hand across, move your face like you got hit by me.
Okay,
but gotcha. You slap at the same time. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Come on, Tom.
I'm sitting down, so it's hard for me to put my hands behind my back.
You put your hands below the camera, that's all.
Oh, okay. I thought I'd put my hands behind my back. Let's do that. Let's do that again.
Look at the camera.
Yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Okay, are you ready? And ready. Here we go.
Wow. Okay, got you.
I got you. Yeah, do it to me.
Okay.
Do it to me.
Ready?
Yep. Oh.
Got you.
Ooh, you got her.
So then it's all about cheating the camera. If you go by the same angle of the hand, mm-hmm. then you can't see that it didn't make contact. And of uh-huh. course, in special effects, you can just make the slap sound, but you uh-huh. could do the slap yourself. So kids love it.
Well, not just kids. I think adults would love it too. And the fans had to put up with just listening to us talking about it. Well, in the meantime, I'm probably going to have to put hydrogen peroxide. After we get through this, but that was really cool. That was really cool, Stacey. Yeah. So After Dark Shadows. Now we know that in the 60s, obviously he was working a lot with Frank Sinatra mm-hmm. and doing Dark Shadows. What did your uncle do after Dark Shadows?
200 movies.
That certainly helps.
Well, I mean, during that whole time, he was working doing other stuff. I mean, I'm not sure how many did they shoot every day of the week. Do you know, or once a week, or Dark Shadows? But
Dark Shadows was 5 days a week, sometimes six, depending upon whether they got held up or they had to do special stuff. I would imagine with your and you know we haven't gotten to that part yet, so I have to research it a little further. But I would imagine with your uncle, they probably had to do some special stuff, which would like him. There's one scene that I remember of him breaking through the glass of the blue whale or something like that, you know. And that was really cool. That was really cool. The best ones, of course, were the fights with Jonathan Frid, which were obviously staged. But, you know, where Barnabas would use the silver cane to keep him at bay and stuff mm-hmm. like that. Those were...
I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, that was... there were a couple of those.
You know who this is?
Who's that? Vicky?
Josette.
Oh, that's Josette. Oh.
So, I interviewed her when I was at that show.
Catherine Lee Scott.
And she's awesome.
She's a very sweet lady.
Yes. One thing that people don't realize that he did all the stunts. There was a stunt on set. He did it. Mm-hmm. So there's a scene with Josette where she falls down the stairs. And my uncle did that. Now, when I put that on one of the Dark Shadows groups, they all went crazy. Yeah, she's never fallen down the stairs. And it's like, well, I heard it from herself. So
I wonder what episode that would be. What was it, a time hop? It had to be a time hop.
And now you're saying Josette, so this was during the 1795. So that means that he was involved in Dark Shadows before he actually started playing the werewolf, because 1795 came before the 1968 stuff. So he was involved in Shadows. He would probably have also been involved. There was one in the old, when Shadows was first beginning, and Liz fell down the stairs. I remember mm-hmm. that. Joan Bennett fell down the stairs. So he's probably involved in that as well. That's something I didn't know.
I just put two and two together too. We were talking prior to the recording, and she had mentioned that. And I'm trying to remember when she fell down the stairs, because I do know she did fall.
Mm-hmm.
Make mm-hmm. me crazy because I can't mm-hmm. remember.
You guys, when you come across any stunts, if you could write down the time code or whatever, if you get a video clip of it, that'd be great. I do know I've seen one where if you Google it, you'll find one where she's dressed up and you could barely see her face, but she falls down the stairs or falls down.
What did Catherine tell you about her association with him? Do you remember?
I just know that she wanted to do the stunt. She wanted to fall down the stairs, and the director said, "Oh no, we're not going to have you fall down the stairs.
Right.
We're going to have him do it. And well, that's what she told me in our interview. So
he got dressed up as her?
Yep. So basically, like she was describing, you know, with the padding and stuff. Back then, they didn't, you know, they literally just used football paddings and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like a special stunt thing. Mm-hmm. So he owned East Coast Stuntmen's Association. So he trained stuntmen that are still alive and still working.
Okay.
And stunt women. So he had one of the first stunt women work for him and train. And then she went on to Los Angeles. They're both in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
George Fisher is one of them.
Okay.
And let's see. What movie was he in? He was in, here's a movie I didn't know that my uncle was in. Because he didn't call me up and say, hey, by the way, I'm in 20 movies this year. I snuck in to see Superman because I was waiting for my movie to start. So I had 15 minutes to kill. So I went in Superman, watched that, and literally after 2 minutes, a police officer comes in and says, hold it right there, Turkey. And it was my uncle holding up, you know, two bad guys. And later on, I found out that George Fisher was in the car chase. So if you watch a movie from 1965 that is in New York City, all the way up into the 80s, it's very suspect that my uncle is somehow involved.
He was very, very active in his craft.
Very prolific. And that's really good.
One of the things that I learned through George Fisher was that the stunt people have a kit. It's kind of like a go bag that you have when you go camping or whatever, you have it ready.
Okay.
Well, in that you have your padding or no. Diane. Oh my God. I'm just losing. She's Hollywood. She wrote a book, Hollywood Stunt Women, and it's not published yet. But anyway, they had little cars to say, you know, okay, I'm going to crash into you over here, and then I'm going to crash into here, and then I'm going to crash into here, and then I'm going to go, whoa, I'm off to the side. So they kind of use little toy cars to see how they're going to do it.
It's actually brilliant when you think about it, though.
What's that?
It's actually kind of brilliant when you think about it. You know, that they thought it out like that because...
Sure.
In that one movie I was telling you, Kojak, the first one, he drove a police car just like this.
I remember the way those cars used to look.
Yes, God.
Yeah.
So speaking about this truck, does that look familiar to you? David Selby drove this in that the first Dark Shadows movie.
Night of Dark Shadows, or was it House of Dark Shadows? Night of Dark Shadows.
No, that would be the second one. Night of Dark Shadows, yep.
So he is in a chase with my uncle.
Wow. I didn't know your uncle was in that movie. Wow.
Yeah, he's in both the movies.
Yeah, but you could see him when they were hanging Laura Parker. He was right there when they were, he was one of the guys hanging Angelique.
Yep.
Wow. I didn't even know that. Good for you, Vicky. Good catch.
Yeah.
Yep.
So in that movie, in that second movie, he was, he got in the fight he got hurt twice in that movie. So in the car chase, he missed his mark and hit a tree. So in that movie when he hits a tree, I don't think he was supposed to hit it. Or however he was supposed to hit it, didn't hit it right, so he broke his leg.
Oh.
Yeah, so he was hospitalized with that. And then he also, in that fight scene where David Selby falls off the bridge.
Yes.
Or...
With Jim Storm.
He was fighting, yeah, Jim Storm.
Yeah.
He was the guy that fell off the bridge, and he hit his head on the bridge going down. So he got hit twice in that movie.
God, your uncle took his lumps, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, he's
kidding.
Yeah, but this is very interesting. I never knew that he was in, was it credited? I don't know if he was credited.
I don't know if it was credited, but he was one of the guys, he was one of the gentlemen waiting to hang Angelique.
I'm sure. So Dan Curtis really did a lot. Now, from now on, I'm going to start to look at all the stunts to see if...
Yeah, I'm going to be paying more attention to him too now.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, but the hard part is they didn't do a lot of credits, you know, so...
That's a shame, actually, because I was going through stuff, and I mean, I printed out quite a bit, and it just said, no credits, and I'm just sitting here looking, it's like, okay, he did it, but there's no credits. Now, you know, you see the whole list of people in the modern...
But now it's all unionized. And was there a union that he could belong to that back then?
No.
No. Okay, in fact, so it was not unionized.
So the lady I was trying to say and is like also one of his best friends was Diane Peterson. And I'm also in contact with her. I've interviewed her and George Fisher. And he's always talked about very fondly about them through the years, get a hold of them, da da da. So they were very excited to meet me and tell me their stories. So I have interviews with Fisher just on audio, but Diane on video. And she was in a couple movies with him. She,
wow.
The one that gave her a break in her, mm-hmm. her movie career, because back then they didn't have women in it, and it wasn't about being prejudiced against them or anything. They just didn't want them to get hurt and stuff like that. And
right.
And you
it was
really
a chivalrous time.
Oh, totally. So she went on to start her own stunt association in Los Angeles, which is now the Women Stunt Women of America.
That's fantastic.
Wow. Wow.
He's one of the founders.
He really left a legacy. So what are you doing now, Stacey? I know, you know, you have your own business where you shoot commercials and other things, and you've won the awards for that. Can you tell us a little about that?
So I just, one of my favorite, I'm a for hire producer. So I have clients that say, hey, I need my website, or I need a commercial for Facebook, or a commercial or animation, logos. I do all that kind of stuff, and that's Playback Video and Film Productions. And one of my favorite things to do are music videos. And recently I produced a music video called Into the Light with Sarah Smith. Mm-hmm. And actually, wow. Alex is in this movie. This is Behind the Light.
Mm.
Yeah, so it was...
When was that made?
A couple of years ago. It's like my final was 2018.
Okay.
And this has won 11 awards, the music video, song, and documentary.
Mm-hmm.
So behind me are what won at two Tellys and an Indie Fest award. So these are made by the people that make the Emmys. And these are by the same people that make the Oscars.
Wow.
And wow. I got...
And what kind of award was that again?
So this was for directing, Award of Merit for Women Filmmakers for Behind the Light. That's the documentary. And this is for Behind the Light and the Best Documentary Short Film.
Wow.
Are those yours?
Yes.
Sure. That's very impressive. Very nice.
It sure is. That's wonderful. That's wonderful.
So one of the things I would, you know, I was always excited to talk to my uncle since I was in the business. And so he was a great influence. And one of the things that he would always tell me is, you're only as good as your last job. Yeah. So my last job won 11 awards. So I guess I'm pretty good.
I think so too. That's great. And what was your last job? What was that about?
Behind the Light is...
That was Behind the Light. Behind the Light.
Well, that was the first major project. And just Monday, I shot a pizza commercial, and this next week, I'm going to do one for Castle Valley Tire Pros, which is a little shop out here.
Okay.
You're a busy woman.
You got to get paid doing it. If you're strictly in the movie business, you know, it's tough to go in between jobs. And me, I could do all of it. So
that's perfect.
How are you doing right now with the COVID and everything? I mean, are you still able to?
Oh, Lord, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm super busy because media is so important to even let people know. It's anybody on. I've talked to about, like the tire company. I did one little video of him, and he had two record days in business. So the
life
only
has to go on some way. Information has to get out there some way, you know.
Do you have to wear? Do you wear the mask and everything when you? Yep.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yep. And your crew also, I would suspect. Yeah.
Yeah. Mostly, it's me, myself, and I.
Oh, okay. So, that's a good place to start.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's how everybody did it when movies first started, you know, all those years ago. But that's great. How many years have you been doing this now?
Including today? 36 years.
Wow.
How old? 36?
Yep.
You started young.
My company is Playback Video and Film.
You're older than you look. Oh, my God.
I know.
Yeah, I was gonna say you don't look that old. I'm the same age, so you don't look that old at all. If you're
oh my God! Well, that's California for you. Well, that's California. Yeah.
One of the other continually projects is postcardtravelers.com. It's a website about travel. So okay. I do a lot of crazy stuff. So I am a stunt woman in other ways. So I go on trips like dirt bike riding and try to videotape it, do selfie stuff, kayak out in the bay, which is very dangerous. And so I'm pulling those together to make a little movie, a TV show kind of thing.
Okay.
But I blog about my trips, and hopefully that'll be my retirement plan.
Sounds like a fantastic one.
Yeah, I'm a fine art photographer. So through that, you can find my photography. And
I will definitely look, because I love that, all of that. But you just kayaking stuff. I haven't done that in a while. But
what's your website? Let the fans know what your website is.
Postcardtravelers.com.
Okay.
We will also share that on our newsletter. So
yeah, that'd be great.
Absolutely. So
everybody can find you.
Yeah. Don't do what I do. Just enjoy what I do.
Exactly.
So Stacey,
I like to say I'm a shipwreck hunter.
That would actually be a lot of fun, though. Yeah.
I would definitely follow do it.
You. Where do you live? Do it. Where are you at?
I'm in Dallas right now.
Dallas, okay.
And I'm in Florida. I'm in probably southern
a lot of
Florida.
Shipwrecks out there in Florida.
How many? What?
Probably shipwrecks out there in Florida.
Oh yeah. Especially.
I grew up by Lake Ontario. You'd be surprised all the shipwrecks from the wars and stuff that are up there. It's just like amazing.
Well, on Postcard Travelers, I have this map where I've put a marker on all the shipwrecks I could find around the world.
That is cool. I love that.
Any ghost towns. Anything weird is on this map. I don't recommend that any of it's legal to go see. You know, like you can't just go on a ship that's out there.
It's not illegal unless you get caught. That's my motto.
Right, sure. You did it, not me.
That's for sure. So, Stacey, in closing, and of course, your uncle's not here anymore to talk to the fans, but anything you want to say?
You know, when I went to that Hollywood show in Los Angeles.
Which Kathy Resch, I think that's the Hollywood Women's Show, or is that the monthly thing that they have? I don't remember.
No, it was one year thing, and Dark Shadows people were down there.
Oh, okay. I think it was the Hollywood Women's thing. Go ahead.
And I know that my uncle knew about his fan base. He's been to a lot of the shows that you can talk.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows they're out there, and he always loved that people showed so much love for him, and that you had Dark Shadows fans. And I've known about it through online, because I could see people talk. I'm probably part of six groups out there,
right?
And but when I went down to LA and saw all these, I thought it was just going to be Dark Shadows, but it was all kinds of movies. But through all those people and all those movie stars and everybody there, you can definitely tell the Dark Shadows fans. They're like, okay. And I walked by them. I saw a little group sitting in the restaurant area, and they were all dressed up in something, you know. And
cosplay.
I introduced myself, and they were very excited to meet me, of course, with being my uncle and everything. So I just know that in spirit, he loves what you guys do, and I'm so appreciative to keep that alive and keep him in your hearts and soul.
That's great.
Thank you.
That's great, Stacey.
I'd love to hear from you.
Make sure you go to EastCoastStuntmans.com, to find out the update of whatever I do about his documentary. I'm not sure how I'm going to do it because I can't put 300 movies into 1 hour TV show.
I know. That's just such an amazing career. Right. Such an amazing career.
So I'm not sure how I'm going to split it up because it keeps growing and going in different directions. So
you might do a sequel if it really takes off.
Yeah.
That's probably.
Gonna have I have little ideas of things that where you can get his logo on, because he gave me the rights to his logos way before he passed. In fact, I'm wearing East Coast Stuntmen's Association.
Yes, I see.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that were affected by his life, and they're still out there. And if you know anything about my uncle, I would love to hear it as well.
And of course, she's on Facebook. So if any of the fans want to contact her through the, what's the name of the Facebook website again?
His business page is East Coast Alex Stevens East Coast Stuntmen's Association, and his group for Just the Dark Shadows is Friends of the Dark Shadows Werewolf.
So you could definitely contact her on that. And she's also a member of my flagship group with Paul Sousa. Welcome back to Collinwood. And So if you want to contact her, the Dark Shadows fans on Facebook want to contact her through that. She's very amenable. She's one of the friendlier. One of the friendlier people. Because, you know, some of them aren't as friendly, but she's one of them. And
very easy to talk to, no doubt.
Exactly. Stacy, on behalf of the podcast and Vicky here, we want to thank you very much for devoting your time. Is there anything you have anything further to say before we sign off?
No, that's it. But thank you again. I appreciate it.
We appreciate you.
We certainly do. We do. So on behalf of Vicky Ray and myself, I would like to wish everybody well and stay safe. Say good night, Vicky.
Good night, everybody. It was a pleasure, Stacy.
Stacy, say good night.
Good night. Thank you. Stacy Poulos, checking out.
Yep, you got it. Talk to you guys soon. Be sure to listen to the regular podcast submissions, which we do every week.
One more thing.
Go ahead.
I've been hashtagging Practically Famous. So if you have, you can look at everything that I'm doing when it comes to the documentary about my uncle. It's hashtag Practically Famous.
Awesome. Okay, great.
Thank you very much, and thank you, everybody. You have a great day, morning, or evening, wherever you are.
I'm getting a covenant sweat. give me that creepy.